What comes first, Richard Dolan, government disclosure or some UFO craft comes down and just lands in the middle of a city and they can't avoid it then?
Yeah, either the latter. I don't think U.S. government is going to initiate this, or some other country could force the hand. It's a big world out there, and America is certainly the dominant power, but hey, you know, there's China, there's India, there are other places on this world. France, had the famous Cometa report just a few years ago, in which it was a very professionally, scientifically done report, in which they basically stated that the ET visitation was the most likely hypothesis of UFOs. So there are many opportunities around this world for someone to trump the U.S. government on this matter, and I think if there's going to be a disclosure, I do not expect it happening at the initiative of the United States government.
All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jared, calling from West Virginia.
Hi, Jared. Good to have you with us.
I think that if the hysteria would cause a lot of panic if disclosure was happening, and especially if the U.S. government initiated it. And also think that a lot of the reports go without being told because of fear of ridicule from the community and also government agencies coming.
Yeah, no question about the ridicule factor. That's so huge. That's one of the biggest reasons why the media, most media people will not take these stories, and why a lot of government people, in particular a lot of people that I've met in Washington, who, yes, they know about this, and they're not going to be shouting it from the rooftops anytime soon.
Also think subconscious, sometimes people see things, they just chalk up to lights in the sky where they don't want to believe.
Oh, absolutely. I have an old friend of mine, an old professor. I love this man. He's one of my mentors, and I visited him and his wife after my book came out, and he wasn't really into the whole UFO topic, but it turned out his wife was, and it also turned out that the two of them had seen a UFO out in Oregon many, many years before.
And Never thought about it.
I was so tickled because I'm listening to this married couple talk about it, and she said, well, don't you remember that, and wasn't that the weirdest thing, and he was embarrassed. He didn't want to admit to me that he had seen a UFO. So, and he's a brilliant man. So, like a lot of people, I think you're absolutely right, Jared. They will watch it and they will just kind of put it out of their mind. As far as hysteria, I'm not convinced that the hysteria is going to be a completely paralyzing thing. I mean, look, there are lots of people in this world who've got jobs. You have a job, I assume.
Yes.
People have things that they have to do. The disclosure can come out. And what are you going to do, to pull a hair out of your head for a couple of hours, and then what? You're going to kill yourself? I mean, most people are probably not going to do that.
It will be associated at the end of days when disclosure is leaked.
Well,
and I think before
maybe,
I go,
maybe.
Want to say
you know, we're,
quick
listen,
that,
we are at, in my opinion, we are at the end of a road here.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
And that road, you can look at it in a lot of different ways. I like to look at it in terms of our global infrastructure. And, you know, listen, I mentioned this to George earlier in the show. We are in a serious possible crisis coming up of a global petroleum lack of supply to meet the demand. And when that happens, George was talking about people speculating on $80 a barrel oil. I'll tell you, it can get higher than that, and if it does, a lot more than your people's SUVs are going to go hungry. People will go hungry because you can't feed 6+ billion people in the world without oil. And so there's only one thing to do, and that's die. And so we are in a serious bind in terms of the viability of this civilization right now. And so one thing I look at regarding the UFO problem is that one thing it represents is technology. And when you start looking at these objects, you ask yourself, what makes them go? What is their source of energy? This is a critically important question. Now, look, everyone has their take on what is going to be happening down the road, but I would caution all of us to remember that, in my own view anyway, I would say, the future is not an object of knowledge. We can guess, we can speculate, but let's not say that we know exactly what's going to happen, because that is not our gift.
Okay, next up, let's go to our west of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. That's not going to work. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going? This is good. Wayne from San Antonio.
Hello, Wayne. Welcome.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to say Michael Bain's best work was The Abyss. And second of all, my question for Richard is, first of all, I'd put my watch and warrant on the fact that the U.S. government or whoever from the U.S. has contact with extraterrestrials or UFOs, and that I'd like to say that we're sharing some kind of technology with them and they're giving us something. So let's say that they have given us technology, and even more so that they have given us weapon technology or technology that could be used as a weapon. Do you think that if there was a major crisis with another world power and the only way to solve the problem was to use this extraterrestrial technology, do you think the government would just stop all this conspiracy and use it, or do you think that they would just let the crisis happen and keep up the facade?
That's an awesome question, and I have asked myself many, many times, you know, to what extent has this technology ever been used in warfare? Let me just say this. I met with a gentleman who fought in the first Gulf War. This is back in 91, all right? He was in Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And what he said to me was that during Desert Shield, before the actual war broke out, he and his unit were out in the Iraqi desert. They were surrounded by nothing but sand for, you know, lots, many, many hundreds of miles. And the guy said to me that a senior commander, a senior commander, though, came up to them and said, listen, in this area, if you start seeing objects that are, you know, shiny objects flying around in the sky, don't shoot at them, okay? And and the guy said, sure enough, within the next day or two, we saw these objects, and they were in our area. And they were zipping around doing all kinds of things. And I said, well, what were you guys talking about? You're saying this is UFOs? And he says, yes, that's absolutely what I'm telling you. And he said, the thing was, had we even tried to shoot them down, it would have been impossible. They were way beyond that. You know, one has to wonder, was this a military...
Somebody's calling you.
Someone is.
I can tell.
I'm amazed, actually. It's 4:49 a.m. my time here.